Yeah. Welcome to episode 72 of the Speak On It podcast, hosted by your boy T-Lip in the flesh. You know I do it the best. I don't take no's, all I take is yes. All right, man, that's it. That's all. A couple bars, I gotta give y'all a couple bars from time to time, man. Get y'all acclimated to how this podcast is gonna go. Just vibes and flows, opinions and facts, all that good stuff on this podcast. But what's up, man? We finally here to playoff football, man. Saturday was two good games. Well, they were supposed to be two good games. A 4th and a 5th seed playing against each other and a 3 and a 6th seed playing against each other. And this is what playoff football is about. This is what I wanted to see. I couldn't wait till we got to the playoffs because all that noise, knowing you got another game the week after that, it's just a little less pressure on you knowing that you got a game next week. But it's more pressure on you knowing if you lose, your ass ain't playing again till August. That's pressure. We gonna see how y'all play under pressure. So let's jump right into it, man. Obviously, the first game we gonna jump into was Cleveland Browns travel all the way down to Houston to play Houston. If you know, like, Cleveland had just traveled down to Houston, like, what was it, week 15? Yep, in week 16, they had traveled down to Houston to beat Houston 36-22. C.J. Stroud didn't play, but, you know, they traveled down there and beat him, so I'm sure they was feeling good about going down there and being able to win in that stadium. Didn't quite go like that. Didn't quite go like that at all. If you watch the game, the score was Houston 45, Cleveland 14. They literally lost by 31 points in the playoffs. They literally gave up 45 points. And this is a team that the Browns was the number one defense in the NFL. Like, they've been damn near top three defense in the NFL the entire year. There has not been one week where it was like, oh, they're not the top defense. No, they've been in the rankings for the top defense in the NFL this entire year. And they had Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco has been playing well the last 5 weeks. I think he was 4-1 in those weeks, only losing his first game. You had Amari Cooper still doing his thing. David Njoku, Joe Flacco was able to turn him up a little bit. He made the Pro Bowl as well. So this was just one of those Browns team that was playing really well. Offense was clicking, and they, like I said, their defense was one of the top defenses out there. But Houston wasn't having that. Houston was not having that. Let me just read off the stats. Joe Flacco was 34 for 46, 301 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, with two of those interceptions going for pick sixes. You cannot do that in the playoffs. You can't even turn the ball over in the playoffs like that. But for you to throw a pick six, you ain't losing. You ain't winning those games. Njoku had 7 catches, 93 yards. Bryant had 4 catches, 65 yards. Cooper had 4 catches, 59 yards. Bell had 8 catches, 54 yards. They caught Houston threw no picks. C.J. Stroud threw no interceptions, so they didn't have any turnovers. Did they have any turnovers? Yeah, they didn't have any turnovers. Houston did not turn the ball over at all. Houston, C.J. Stroud was 16 for 21, 274 yards, 3 touchdowns. And most of that happened in the first half. He had 3 passing touchdowns and I think over 240 passing yards in the first half. So in the second half, he didn't even come out there and run the ball like that. They had literally 2 pick sixes in the third quarter. Back-to-back possessions. Houston had 2 pick sixes. So, hear me out. The Browns had 14 points total. Houston got 14 points from 2 interceptions. You're not going to win a game out like that. You're not going to win a game. I could go down these stats, but I ain't about to go down these stats. C.J. Stroud, man. Let's talk C.J. Stroud. There was a lot of people saying that, you know, the Browns, there's a lot of people picked the Browns to win this game, including myself. I knew that the Texans could win this game because of C.J. Stroud and because of his poise, his leadership, his accuracy, his anticipation, his playmaking ability. These are all the things I talked about prior to the draft with him. I watched a quality amount of film on C.J. Stroud throughout the years at Ohio State. And I'm like, bro, I'm just thinking like, bro, he can really throw the ball. Now, it's always an adjustment when you get to the NFL. But we've seen it from like the first 8 weeks of the season where he had like 15 passing touchdowns and he didn't have no interceptions. And he had some comeback wins down by a touchdown. And he came back and won the game down by where they needed a touchdown. I think he did that a couple times this year. Drive the ball down the field easily and won games. And we just started to see the clutchness, the accuracy, the anticipation, the big playmaking ability. Like, he didn't turn Nico Collins up. Nico Collins again. Nico Collins had 6 catches for 96 yards. This is a guy that was 3 yards away from 1,300 yards this past season. I don't think he had that in his entire career in the NFL. So, this is a Houston offense that don't have no big names on there. They don't have no Justin Jeffersons, Jamar Chase, Tariq Hills, CeeDee Lambs. They don't have none of that. They don't have no Saquon Barkley's, Derrick Henry's. They don't have none of that. They got Nico Collins, Singletary, Tank Dell, another rookie, Michi. Like, these are the guys they have. They didn't have this loaded offense around him. And he still was able to elevate them and to get them a win. That shit legendary to me. That's legendary. Like, I seen somebody tweet yesterday and said, man, C.J. Stroud has literally had the best rookie year from a quarterback that they've ever seen. And I was like, man, they might be on to something. I mean, I know Ben Roethlisberger, I think he went to the Super Bowl as a rookie, but he had a great team around him. He had Jerome Bettis, he had the steel curtain behind him. He had y'all know the Steelers defense in 2004, 2005. Y'all already know. He had a lot surrounding him. So he just had to come in and, you know, protect the ball and try to make plays as best he can. C.J. Stroud literally had to come in. Nobody had Texas making the playoffs this year, let alone winning the division. They won a division, won a first playoff game. Like, nope, bruh. If you would have told me, hey, Houston is going to go to the playoffs and win a home playoff game this year, at the beginning of the season, I'd have told you, man, stop talking. They got a rookie coach. We don't know how he's going to be. They got a rookie quarterback. We don't know how he's going to be. And they don't have a lot of supreme talent on that team. But what do you know, man? The game is played on the field. It ain't played on the podcast. It ain't played on ESPN. It ain't played on the papers. It ain't played on none of that. None of the talk shows, sports shows. It's played in between them white lines. Hey, C.J. Stroud is a top 5 quarterback. You can't name me 5 quarterbacks that's better than C.J. Stroud right now. And I can see him continuing to go this way. He's just clutch, man. He's making plays. He can make every throw. Like, he made some throws yesterday where it's just like, man, he literally throws wide receivers open. Like, they don't have to turn around and make a spectacular catch. Even if it's pressure right in his face, the way he's working the pocket, throwing from the pocket, throwing on the run, making quick decisions, seeing the field, like, this is, he's playing at like a veteran level. Like, he's playing like he's been playing in the NFL for like 8-9 years. Like, he's seeing the field better than some vets. You can't tell me he's not seeing the field better than Tua. You can't tell me he's probably not seeing the field better than Dak Prescott. You can't tell me he's not seeing the field better than some of these guys that have been playing, you know, Jimmy G's, the Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert. You can't tell me he's not seeing the field and playing at a better level than those guys I just named. He's playing at a great level, man. Shout out to him, man. Winning his first playoff game. And he made it look easy against the number one defense Myles Garrett. I said before this game, I said, man, I was thinking like, man, the Browns are going to win because I thought it was going to be a low-scoring game. I didn't think the Texans was going to be able to just open the field up like they did. And they did, and the Browns couldn't keep up. So once they opened the score up, they went into it at halftime up 24-14. They opened it up to the point where now the Browns have to throw the ball to win. They can't just rely on the run game or the play action pass or their defense. They have to score. And then when you throw two pick sixes and you like you're gonna lose that game anyway. You just gave them 14 points. Now the defense down 14-38. Like that ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work at all. So it's like defense can stop you all they want to. But if your offense can't score, your offense can't go throw for throw with the other team's quarterback or the other team's play calling offense, however you want to look at it, your chances of winning is slim. It slims down. CJ Stroud showed that he was, you know, the best player on the field yesterday. He didn't get sacked at all. Barely threw any bad passes. He was 16 for 21. 274 yards, 3 passing touchdowns. Most of that came in the first half. Like, what else you want to see from him? He's doing his thing. Like, I think he won already right now. Now, if the Steelers win tomorrow, like if the Steelers upset the Bills, the Steelers will travel to Baltimore and play the Baltimore Ravens. And Houston will travel to Kansas City to play Kansas City. If the Bills win tomorrow, Kansas City will travel to Buffalo to play the Bills. And Houston will travel to Baltimore to play the Ravens. What was the first game of the season for Houston this year, Lip? They played the Ravens. They traveled to Baltimore and played the Ravens. CJ Stroud, first game in the NFL was against the Baltimore Ravens. And the Baltimore Ravens won, I think it was 24-9. Let me see. Let me make sure. It was 25-9. Houston didn't score a touchdown. They were just kicking field goals. It was CJ Stroud's first game starting. This is an entirely different CJ Stroud right now. So if they whoever he plays next, they're gonna see a different player than they've seen earlier from week one. So I'm excited to see how that turns out. But all in all, man, great win for Houston. Houston got y'all got y'all solution. Y'all got y'all problem solver. Y'all got y'all franchise quarterback. If I'm Houston, I'm going all in next year and a year after that while he's still on his rookie contract and getting pieces around him to where we can be competing for championships next year. Like, Houston should win that division, period, for the next few years. But you got a young prime quarterback right now that I think probably going to be playing better than Joe Burrow been playing for the Bengals. You want to get some weapons around him, some legitimate weapons. You want to continue to build, continue to make the game easier for him. Continue to build on that defense. Continue to build on that offense. And don't get complacent. That's the worst thing you want to do is get complacent when you're at this moment. So, shout out to Houston for getting that win, man. Shout out to CJ Stroud. Great quarterback, great young quarterback. Shout out to D'Amico Ryans winning his first playoff game as well. Houston on the rise, man. Houston is on the rise. Houston is on the rise. Moving on, man. Let's move on from that. Let's go back to the Saturday night Peacock game, which I didn't get to watch because I don't have no damn Peacock. Like, come on, NFL, man. Come on, bro. Y'all already know what's about to happen. They put a playoff game on Peacock. They ain't even put a regular season Sunday night game on Peacock. They put a playoff game on Peacock. I wonder what the future holds now, man. We gonna see. But for those who did watch the game, Kansas City, Miami Dolphins. Miami, this was the coldest game in NFL history. Coldest game at Arrowhead. It was, what, 15, maybe 20 degrees below zero at the end of the game. Kansas City took care of business. Kansas City won 26-7. Patrick Mahomes, 23-41, 261 yards, one touchdown. Pacheco, 24 carries, 89 yards, one touchdown. Rasheed Rice, rookie receiver from, I think he went to SMU. 8 catches, 130 yards, one touchdown. Travis Kelce, 7 catches, 71 yards. Playmakers right there. Now, I like Rasheed Rice earlier this year because I'm looking like, hey, he can score. He's not afraid of the moment. He just have to. He's a rookie. You can see, like, when you have a rookie on your hands, they're going to make rookie mistakes. But you can see the greatness of potential that he has in him. Like, I haven't thought about a receiver that he reminds me of right now. You feel me? He kind of reminds me of a little bit like Hines Ward. Like, just a do-it-all type of, you know, wide receiver. Especially, like, in between, like, 15 yards. Like, he can run reverses, screens. He catching slants. He catching over routes. He catching dig routes. He just catching the ball, and he's hard to tackle after he catch it. So, he kind of, I just thought of that. He kind of give me, Rasheed Rice kind of reminds me a little bit of Hines Ward. I had to do a little bit more digging because I know my wide receivers. If you know anything about me, I know my wide receivers. And I like comparing guys a little bit, just like not saying he's that same type of guy. But when I see him, who do I see flashes of? When I see Rice all of this year, the way he caught the ball and get down here, he run hard. It's hard to tackle him after the ball. He can catch a screen. He can get a reverse, a jet sweep. All of these things was things that Hines Ward did pretty well as well. Not really a high maintenance guy. He just kind of goes out there and play football. He's from Texas, but that weather didn't do nothing to him. He was out there with no sleeves on. He had one sleeve on one arm, no sleeve on the other one. 12 targets, 8 catches, 130 yards. All hands catches too. Great by him, man. Great by a rookie to come in and show up like that for Patrick Mahomes. Patrick, he helped that offense. I mean, he helped the offense tremendously. He's going to be there next year. Chiefs need to go out and get somebody big time next year. But let's talk about the Dolphins real quick. I know people be mad. I'll be talking about the Dolphins a little bit because I played for the Dolphins, but and I was drafted by the Dolphins. But hey, man, I got to be a podcaster as well. Tua was 20 for 39, 199 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Running game wasn't really doing too well today. Raheem Mostert, he had 8 carries for 33 yards. Like, why did he only have 8 carries? Why did he only have 8 carries? Especially when the Chiefs really, like, they was getting in the red zone, right? Like, they kicked 3 field goals yesterday. They was getting in the red zone a lot. But Miami was getting stops. Matter of fact, he kicked 4 field goals yesterday. Miami was getting stops. You got to be able to run the ball. Like, bro, I don't care what you say, bro. In the playoffs, you have to be able to run the ball. And in the elements that they played in yesterday, you got to stick to the run game. You have to be able to stick to the run game. To only give your runner, Achan has 6 carries for 9 yards. Achan has 6 carries for 9 yards. Mostert had 8 carries for 33 yards. That's 14 carries for 42 yards total by a running back that scored over 20 touchdowns this year and a rookie running back that's played pretty damn well this year in Achan. You got to be committed to running the ball, especially in those elements. You don't want to sit there and say, Tua, go out there and win me the game, because Tua hasn't showed you that he can do that. There's not one game in Tua's NFL career that he showed you that he can go out there and just win you the game by throwing the ball. In a meaningful game, in a game that's not against the Jets, the Raiders, the Commanders. In a meaningful game, when has Tua showed you that he can go out there and just go throw for throw and win a game? Would y'all want to say the Dallas Cowboys? They only scored one touchdown in Dallas game. They kicked five field goals. They scored one touchdown. And another stat I looked at, in the second half of the last three games for Miami, that's games versus the Ravens. Hold on, let me make sure. That's games versus the Ravens. I'm going to even go four games because this is a Miami Dolphins team that put up 70 points earlier in the year. This is a Miami Dolphins offense that put up 70 points, that was doing all them celebrations. All every week they had a different celebration. You know, I'm just speaking from what I seen. This was the celebration team. Every time they scored, they had Tariq was doing something, Tua was doing something. Okay. The last four games in the second half, they have scored two touchdowns. That's it. And in one of those games was against the Ravens in the first play of the fourth quarter where they threw the ball to Achane, which they probably shouldn't have caught that ball either. It was one of those whatever type throws, whatever type catches. Didn't really matter because they was already getting blew out by damn near 30, 20 points at that game as well. So for the last four games, a team that scored 70 points in one game has only scored two touchdowns in the second half of four games, of their last four games. This is the best scoring offense in the NFL. This is Tua. And they walked into this game healthy on offense. Yeah, they've missed pieces on defense and things like that. But they've walked into this game healthy on offense. Tua, Mostert, Achane, Tariq, Waddle. They walked into this game healthy. Cedric Wilson. Their tight end, 81, Smith. They walk into this game healthy on offense. And this is an offensive team. You look at Miami, you call them, hey, that's an offensive team. We got to be able to stop their offense. That's what you do. When you play on Miami, that's your main focus. Hey, we got to be able to stop their offense. And they scored seven points in a playoff game. And the 7 points was on a big play. It was kind of like a broken coverage. Where, you know, he kind of got behind him and Tua just threw it up. And, he, you know, Tariq caught it and cut back and made a touchdown. But besides that, they didn't score at all. They scored no points in the second half. Multiple three and outs in the second half. Like, what you want me to make of that for Miami? What you want me to make of that? In the games that matter, in the games where you need... Bro, when you pay a quarterback in the NFL, you got to understand that, bro. You're going to – some at least five guys are going to get injured. And it may be five important guys that's going to get injured. Do you have a quarterback that can make up for that? Do you have a quarterback that can make up for that? Think about it, bro. Tom Brady played in a Super Bowl without Gronkowski. And they won that Super Bowl. Yeah, y'all remember the one against the Falcons? Gronk didn't play in that game. Gronk was injured. Can you still go out there and win without your best weapon? Can you go out there and win? Can you go out there and play? If you missing a DN, if you missing a corner, if you missing a linebacker, if you missing a running back, if you missing a guard, can you make up that difference? Because that's what happens when you pay a quarterback $50 million. You're not going to be able to pay the rest of the team. You're not going to be able to, you know, if you're trying to become the highest paid quarterback just because that's what the numbers say. Like, what's the point, y'all? I'm not about to get into the whole contract things. Because I just feel like $45 million, $50 million, $55 million. How about you just take $45 million where they can and then leave the team another $20 million so you can pay the players around you, so you can get better players around you. Like $45 million, what's wrong with $45 million a year? I'm not gonna say $45 million and $55 million is the same, because it's not the same. There's a $10 million difference. But bruh, come on now. If you get what I'm saying, you get what I'm saying. Tua has to be the difference maker. Like, what happens when you're off schedule? What happens when the offense is off schedule? What happens when they take away the first read? What happens? You throw the ball late over the middle and throw a pick? Because we've seen that. We've seen that Tua story. We've seen it in Baltimore. He threw the ball over the middle late and high, and Stone picked it off. What happened yesterday? He threw the ball over the middle, late and high, and Mike Edwards picked it off. What happens? I've never really seen Tua do a five-step drop. It's all quick game stuff. But what happens when you take away the quick game? What happens? Can you go out there and win a game? Tua hasn't showed that. This was his first playoff game, because last year he didn't play in the playoffs. This was his first playoff game, and they was on the road in this freezing weather. But I'm not making no excuses for them. You know why? Because they should have beat the Titans at home. Remember, they lost to the Titans when they were up by double digits with under, 3 minutes left in the game. They were up by 13 points, I think. It was 27-13. They were up by 13 points. And they lost that game. And then they lost to Baltimore. And then they lost to the Bills at home. Lost to the Bills at home. When they could have had the 2 seed. The 2 seed was on the line. It could have went to Miami. They could have been playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in Miami. But they lost because it was a big game. It wasn't a Jets team that don't have no offense at all. It wasn't a Commanders team that don't know what the hell they doing over there. It wasn't a Raiders team that just fired their coach a couple weeks ago. It wasn't none of them. You had to play football. You had to play football. So, there's a lot of things going on in Miami, man. You stopped Tariq, you stopped that offense. You stopped Tariq, you stopped that offense. He had 5 catches, 62 yards. The last game that Kansas City played the Dolphins, what did they do to Tariq? First off, they forced a fumble and made him and stripped him away from the ball. Last time, he had 8 catches for 62 yards. So, that's 62 yards and 62 yards. Both games, Tariq played the Chiefs 2 times this year. And in both games, he was held to 62 yards receiving. That's an off game for Tariq Hill. That's an off game for Cheetah. And on one of the catches was the 53-yard touchdown catch. So he really had – so if you take away that catch, he had 4 catches for 9 yards outside of that big catch he had. Shout out to the Chiefs defense, man. Like, the Chiefs defense is playing at a very, very, very high level right now. They playing at a high level right now. They playing at a high level right now. And if the Bills win and then the Kansas City travel to Baltimore and play, oh, that's going to be a great game. Depending on how the Bills play the Steelers, I'm leaning to take Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs, over the Bills in Buffalo. If Buffalo win, I'm leaning to take the Chiefs. Right now, if I had to make that choice right now and they were playing against each other, I would take the Chiefs. The Chiefs got defense. They'd be able to, you know, force Josh Allen into making some turnovers and doing some things he don't want to do because he wanna make plays. He sometimes forces the issue. And I think they can make him play right into that. and give Patrick Mahomes some short fields where he can just score and then put that pressure on the Bills. So if they had to play today, man, I'll take the Chiefs over the Bills for the next round. So I hope that's a matchup because they play early this year and Josh Allen went into Arrowhead and won. So if Kansas City, this team right here, goes into Buffalo and win in the second round and then they in the AFC Championship with probably most likely Baltimore, we get a Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, AFC Championship, who winner goes to the Super Bowl. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. But shout out to the Chiefs, man, for handling business in their backyard. Cold game, freezing game. They ran the ball well, controlled the clock, made plays down the field when they needed to. Defense, like I said, stepped up versus a team that scored 70 points this year, held them to 7 points, 0 points in the second half. Once again, hey, man, playoff football is here. All that shit that y'all be talking in the regular season is cool, and I respect the regular season in the NFL because every game matters in the NFL, every game. So I respect what goes on in the NFL in the regular season. But I know the levels and the degree of difficulty that the game rises to in the playoffs in the NFL as well. And those are when the guys come out to play. Those are when the playmakers can, the ones that's really detailed and focused and resolute, those are the champs. And we just see who the champs is. You wasn't just going to be able to walk into Arrowhead and beat the defending Super Bowl champions. No matter who on their team, they still got Patrick Mahomes. They got Patrick Mahomes. That's all you got to say. They going to always have a chance if they got Patrick Mahomes, especially in the playoffs. Come on, playoff Pat. 12 wins. He had a six-year career. He got 12 playoff wins already. He has more than Aaron Rodgers and a couple more quarterbacks already in his career. 6 years. This is his sixth year. He already has double-digit playoff wins. Hey, man. You got to love what you see from the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, preferably. So, shout out to the first weekend. Well, ain't the first weekend. Obviously, we got some games today. We have the Packers and the Cowboys today. And then the nightcap game, we have the Rams and the Lions. I think both of those games are going to be great. I'm excited to see them, excited to watch them. I'll make my pick later on the Speak on the Podcast page on Twitter and Instagram. Tune in. I might shock y'all with one of my picks today. Maybe two of my picks today. I might shock y'all with both of them. So tune in. But all in all, man, great season from Cleveland and Miami. Obviously, it's still more work to do. Got to find a way to finish the drill, man. Got to find a way to get a playoff win. Got to find a way because it ain't going to get no easier. Like I tweeted yesterday, Joe Burrow will be back next season. Aaron Rodgers will be back next season. Justin Herbert will be back next season. Right? Anthony Richardson will be back next season. We don't know what the Broncos are going to look like next season. We don't know what the Patriots are going to look like next season. So the AFC, it ain't going to do nothing but get tighter. It ain't going to do nothing but get tighter. So y'all better find a way to do the work. Find a way to get right because playoff football is here, baby. And 7 points in the playoffs, 14 points in the playoffs, ain't going to cut it. It ain't going to cut it. It ain't going to cut it. But that's all I got for y'all. I want to speak on the podcast. This is episode 72. Appreciate you for tuning in. Appreciate you for listening to Lip. I may know what I'm talking about sometimes, but sometimes, shit, I don't be knowing what I'm talking about at all. But if you are tuned in to me because you like hearing my opinions, I appreciate you, you know? It's all love. Speak on the podcast. Lip out.